If you enjoy these episodes, please consider donating to help keep this podcast going by clicking on the link in the description of this episode. Also, please give the podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends and family. Thursday, April 3rd. The lesson from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 25 through 37. In those days, a Shunammite woman came to Elisha to Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi his servant, "Look, yonder is the Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the mountain to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came to thrust her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for she is in bitter distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" He said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not salute him, and if anyone salutes you, do not reply, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." Then the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. Therefore he returned to meet him and told him, "The child has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and shut the door upon the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay upon the child, putting his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Then he got up again and walked once to and fro in the house, and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, "Take up your son." She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she took up her son and went out. Haydock Commentary. When the Shunammite woman says, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" she is saying, "Better had it been for me not to have become a mother than to be so soon deprived of my child." When Elisha tells Gehazi to salute no one on the way, we see that he that is sent to raise to life the sinner spiritually dead must not suffer himself to be called off or diverted from his enterprise by the salutations or ceremonies of the world. So must the preachers of the gospel diligently fulfill their important office. Conversation with the world is not reprehended, but no human transaction ought to impede what is divine. Elisha requires the utmost speed that the favor might be the greater, for who gives quickly gives twice. He also willed to prevent his servant from telling anyone what he was about, that he might not be touched with vanity and thus hinder the miracle. By the staff of Elisha is represented the rod of Moses, or the old law, which was incapable of restoring life to mankind then dead by sin. It was necessary that Christ himself should come in our flesh to restore us to life again. In this, Elisha, as a figure of Christ, behooved to go in person to restore the dead to life. St. Augustine shows that many like things recorded in the Old Testament are figures of the new. Many of the fathers observe that this miracle was intended to show the necessity of the incarnation to redeem lost man. The staff did not therefore restore life. Some lay the blame on the servant, others on the woman, who required the prophet to come in person. When it says the body of the child became warm, the Arabic version adds, "by his breath," as when God breathed the soul into Adam. Some Greek versions have, "he breathed upon him." The Gospel from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 16. At that time Jesus went into a city called Nain, and there went with him his disciples and a great multitude. And when he came nigh to the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, "Weep not." And he came near and touched the bier, and they that carried it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen up amongst us, and God hath visited his people." Haydock Commentary. Nain is a city of Galilee about 2 miles from Mount Tabor. It was by divine dispensation that so very great a multitude was present on this occasion in order to witness this stupendous miracle, so says Venerable Bede. The burying places of the Jews were out of the precincts of the city, as well for the preservation of health as decency. Thus Joseph of Arimathea had his sepulchre in the rock of Mount Calvary, which was out of the city. The evangelist seems to relate this miracle as if it had happened by mere accident, though, beyond a doubt, divine providence disposed all things to increase the splendor of the miracle. Jesus Christ would not raise this young man to life before he was carried out to be buried, that he might meet him near the gates of the city, where the assembly of the people took place. Besides this, there were present both the multitude that followed Jesus and the multitude that followed the corpse, to the end that all these might be eyewitnesses to the miracle, and many might praise God. It was very proper that Christ should work this miracle just as he was entering the city, that he might preach the gospel with better success, from the opinion they must form of him after beholding so great a miracle and so great a favor bestowed upon them. In a few words, the evangelist paints to life the affliction of this distressed widowed parent, a mother and a widow without the least hopes of children, deprived of him who was her only support, the life of her habitation, the source of all her maternal tenderness and satisfaction, now in the prime of health, the only branch of her succession, and the staff of her old age. Here Christ shows that he raised the dead by his own power and at his own command, "I say to thee, arise." This shows that it is the voice of God that speaks, for the dead can hear the voice of him alone, according to St. John, "Amen, I say to you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who hear shall live." John 5:25. Our Savior is not like Elijah, weeping for the son of the widow of Sarepta, nor Elisha, who applied his own body to the body of the dead child, nor Peter, who prayed for Tabitha. But he it is that calls the things that are not as those that are, who speaks to the dead as to the living. A great fear came on them all, that is, a reverential awe and trepidation seized them, and an uncommon degree of astonishment at the divinity which appeared to them. They gave praise and glory to God for thus visiting his people by sending them the Savior he had promised them.